when I'd ask him to do something, and he would ask me over and over again, what did I need again? Or driving somewhere and going to the wrong place. Instead of the grocery store, he might be sitting at the stadium.
At a stadium?
Thinking it's ready for practice. He accidentally put the dirty laundry in the freezer and thought it was the washing machine. He said, I told you, I have it.
I have it.
Yeah.
What?
CTE.
Michelle Hasselrig's husband, Carlton Hasselrig, was an all-pro lineman for the Pittsburgh Steelers and New York Jets in the 1990s. For years, he suspected he had chronic traumatic encephalopathy, or CTE.
I want to show you something.
A degenerative brain disease that scientists believe is endemic to the game of professional football.
Oh, here it is. Oh, Lord. I'm scared.
Why are you scared?
Because you'll see.
Help me. Dad! From father!
He was yelling for his grandfather. And his dad, which was Fred Hasselrig, who are both deceased.
I already know you're not going to take care of me.
Those days right there were every day. Every day for at least 6 months. That bad.
Carlton was one of nearly 5,000 NFL players who sued the league more than a decade ago.
And, you know, for most part, they all have the same claim, which was like, we were not told about this risk. Not only were we not told about it, but, you know, you, the NFL, actually, like, covered up this risk. There's been congressional hearings into this.
Are you going to pay the injured players and their families for the injuries that they have received in helping you to be a multi-billion dollar operation? That's the only question.
I believe that we will be addressing these matters in a responsible fashion, that we'll be able to come back before you at some point in time and say that we have addressed these in a way that's responsible.
The NFL is like the richest and most powerful sports league in the United States. And American football is also very popular at the youth level, particularly in American high schools. You wrap your flag around it, and it's just such a place of exalted Americana. I think what the threat the NFL was under, do you lose that place of cultural primacy as America's sport?
After years of pressure, in 2013, the NFL reached a settlement with Carlton and thousands of other players agreeing to make payouts to players with brain disease. But when the league's top official went on TV to talk about it, he made sure to emphasize that the NFL was not responsible for CTE among its players.
And what we were able to do was all compromise on our positions. There was no admission of guilt. There was no recognition that anything was caused by football. But the reality is we want to help our players.
And when you heard there was a settlement,
mm-hmm.
did you think that was a good thing?
I did, absolutely.
And to Carlton?
Yes, we did, really did.
What did you think was going to happen now that the NFL had settled?
That everybody was going to get what was owed to them.
But Carlton never got any settlement money or medical assistance from the concussion settlement.
What happened?
And neither have thousands of other retired NFL players.
The settlement was never designed to pay former NFL players for what they were suffering from as a result of playing football. Never designed that way. It's a sham.
If the NFL's goal was like, get this out of the news cycle so people aren't thinking about these depressing stories of damaged former players, and they're also not thinking about in general how football causes brain damage, because that's not great for our product either. If we can take those out of the news, it's a huge win for us as the NFL.
Did the NFL take responsibility for the damage inflicted on its players? Or was this settlement intended to deflect public attention and protect the future of America's most powerful sports league?
Hasselrig in the light blue is ranked number 2 in the country.
In some ways, Carlton Hasselrick's road to the NFL was improbable.
As he does, and boom, he's in on a quick double. That'll score.
He started out as a wrestler, winning 6 individual college championships, the most of anyone in history.
And the result was a national championship.
He took a wild shot and just blocked it and blocked pretty well and spun around.
Carlton was the best of the best, there's no doubt about it. You knew there was something special about him.
When he decided he wanted to play football professionally, Carlton tried out and was drafted by his beloved Pittsburgh Steelers in 1989.
Growing up, my early heroes were, at that time, all of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Boy, there were times when Coach McCord had said, don't worry about it, don't worry about it. You'll play NFL, you'll play in the NFL.
He plays in the NFL despite coming from a college with no football program. That's where he became a guy playing the Pro Bowl. I mean, it's amazing.
And Pro Bowl guard Carlton Hasselrig.
Great block.
I tell everybody, man, he was Michael Jordan to us around here. One of the strongest mentally tough person that I've ever been around. People always talk about his physical strength. His mental toughness was something that I seen that stood alone from anybody else. And it made you believe in yourself.
Me and Carlton had 3 kids, Kentara, CJ, this is in order, and then Carly. He always thanked me so much for giving him these children. He was a good father, he was funny. Anything that I needed him to do, he would do without question. He would play with all the kids in the block. They loved him. He would fix their bikes. He would do anything. He would work in the yard. He would barbecue. He was just that all-American dad.
Carlton left the NFL in 1996. In the years after, he was a football and wrestling coach.
Well, right now, I'm coaching high school football for the Greater Johnstown High School and also assistant wrestling coach for Greater Johnstown High School. I'm just so pleased and happy to be back at home and have the opportunity to work with the kids here at home.
When did you start to notice a change in him?
Sometimes Carlton would go off on his own and he would drink, or he would talk to himself or be in the basement. You can hear him like yelling something, but we wouldn't know what. And then sometimes he would just go away and leave, and I wouldn't see him for a day.
Will Harris coached wrestling with Carlton and remembers seeing a change in him in 2017 when they went to the state championship.
Every bit of downtime that we had, he spent alone in his room, lights off, you know, no TV, no phone, no nothing, just, you know, just in a, it was like he was sick, like he was down.
Freddie Hasselrig.
Carlton told his family he believed the problems he was having were caused by head trauma he suffered while playing in the NFL.
This is Carlton Hasselrig's helmet from the last year he did play for the Steelers. He said the deep gouges, and boom. When I looked at it and saw it initially, I thought about his brain, his head, being bruised because of the blunt force that he got playing that position.
The brain itself doesn't have any nerve endings to feel pain, you know, pain receptors. And so they just keep on getting more and more blows to the brain. Concussions are just at the surface of what's seen. What about hit after hit after hit, with the brain moving around? And all of the research so far indicates that it's the repetitive nature of the blows that lead to risk for later life disease, including CTE.
The mood and behavior symptoms that are a huge part of CTE, anger, irritability, suicidality, like you can't really hold a job because you're explosive now. Or all of a sudden, like you've been a sober person all your life and now you just love drinking and you're a compulsive gambler, and that's come out of almost seemingly nowhere. When you talk to the families and loved ones of these guys, and they will say that, like, he's a totally different person. I don't know what happened.
How many NFL players do you think will develop CTE?
From what we've learned since we started looking for CTE is that that percentage, that number of the people that do end up with it, seems to be climbing. The more we look, the more we find.
In our reporting, we kind of started to piece something together. And I'm just going to show you, see what you think of it. Do you know who this was? Number 74.
No.
His name's Terry Long, and he is who Carlton replaced.
He's the one who killed himself.
As right guard. Killed himself, that's right. He drank antifreeze. This is Carlton here.
Yeah.
He played right guard, and to his right, his immediate right, Justin Sterling.
That was his friend.
That's his friend. You know what happened to Justin? He drove into a fuel tanker at 90 miles an hour and died in the crash.
And I remember the day it happened because my husband was very sad.
These guys were number 3 and 4 CT that they discovered.
Yeah. They were all together playing in the same line. What does that tell you?
In the months before Carlton died, Michelle began recording videos of him.
Okay, so now.
Oh, I started all these recordings so people would believe me. Nobody would believe me.
What happened?
He had cirrhosis of his liver disease, but he thought he was okay. Your brain tells you what to do. So his brain's thinking, telling him that he's fine. So he doesn't want to go to the hospital. He was mad at me because we were trying to make him go to the doctors.
Like it sounded. I already know you're not going to take care of me. Help me. Dad! Father!
That's what the end was like.
Yes.
Just when I die, is this the day? What's the day of it? Yeah, it might be it, huh? Sorry, y'all.
Carlton died a month later, on July 22nd, 2020. He was 54.
And is there any doubt in your mind what caused that decline?
There's no doubt in my mind what caused the decline.
What caused it?
CTE.
And is there any doubt in your mind where he would have gotten CTE?
I know where he got CTE from.
Where?
Football, the NFL.
CTE can only be diagnosed definitively once a person is dead and their brain has been examined. Since 2002, more than 300 NFL players have been found to have had the disease. Michelle donated Carlton's brain to the CTE Center at Boston University. It was one of Carlton's dying wishes.
And why did he want it donated to Boston?
CTE for the concussion lawsuit, and that we would be taken care of because we were told with the settlement, if you had CTE, that was the most that you would get paid for, which was $5 million.
If his brain's tested and if he has CTE, his wife, Michelle, would obviously get compensated since he died of what this settlement's really about, right?
No, he wouldn't be compensated.
But if he died and it's proven that he had CTE.
No, he wouldn't be compensated. You had to have died and proven to have CTE between, I believe it's 2006 and 2015. That's the window. I mean, to me, it's one of the great crimes of this settlement, that there's this cutoff date. If you have CTE and did not die before 2015, and they take your brain and they look at it under a microscope, and they find CTE, you're out of luck. I'm sorry you didn't die before 2015. Good luck to you and your family.
How much money did the NFL save by cutting CTE out of the settlement?
We imagine that over the 65-year period that this would have been in place, anywhere conservative estimates are $3 billion and more probably realistic benefits are somewhere around $7 billion.
The settlement has paid out nearly $1 billion to retired players and covers three neurodegenerative diseases, ALS, Parkinson's disease, and Alzheimer's.
$1 billion sounds like a very impressive number. That is, unless it's supposed to be $8 or $9 billion.
For former NFL players who believe they have or might develop CTE, the NFL concussion settlement designed a set of tests to measure cognitive impairment. Carlton took these tests in 2017, 3 years before he died. If these tests confirmed that Carlton was cognitively impaired, he would have qualified for an award from the NFL concussion settlement.
He didn't qualify for anything.
Nothing.
Based on their test.
Yes.
And this is the test from the neurologist that you shared with us. Executive functioning, they said his impairment level is none. Language impairment level is none. Visual perceptual processing impairment level, none. Learning and memory functioning impairment level, none. Does this ring true to you? His wife's responses suggested that Mr. Hasselrig has generally subtle function difficulties in daily life.
Somebody putting their laundry in a freezer. Is that subtle? Somebody that doesn't know where to go get his coffee that he's been getting it for the last 15, 20, 30 years. Is that subtle?
It would take several years for Michelle to learn what happened with Carlton's test. In 2019, two former players sued the NFL for discrimination, claiming the league was factoring in race when diagnosing players with cognitive impairment. They used a process called race norming. Carlton and other retired black players had to score significantly worse on their tests to qualify for an award from the NFL.
It means that they have determined that if you are born black, that you have less cognitive function from birth than your white counterpart. It is used to deny benefits economically for 70% of the class. 70% of former players are black. In an industry where the wealth was built on the backs of black and brown men.
We didn't know none of, like, any
your,
of
your
this.
Your neurologist, your neuropsychologist didn't explain to you that your scores will be adjusted based on the fact you're an African-American male? They didn't tell Carlton
absolutely
that to your knowledge?
Absolutely not. Carlton wouldn't have did it. No. Absolutely not.
Wait, is this software specific to the settlement?
It is specific to the settlement.
Using the NFL concussion settlement software, Dr. Eric Watson at the Brain Injury Research Center at Mount Sinai Hospital was able to show us the impact race had on Carlton's ability to qualify for an award from the NFL.
In generating these scores, it's easy enough to adjust the scores to see what the scores would look like if you were white.
So if we took race norms out, these would be Carlton's scores here?
Yes.
These are the direct changes.
Wow. The labels are
Oh, these are totally different. Yeah, these are totally different. Severe impairment? Nothing was severe impairment on the other one.
No.
I mean, this is a quantum difference, not a small difference.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It's almost like a completely different person.
Right. With one click of a button, you go from a man who is qualified for part of the settlement to a man who's not.
Absolutely.
Oh, wow. Look at the numbers. It's not even a little, it's a lot. Why did they do this to him? To say that my husband wasn't sick, because once they said that and he read that, he believed that. He said, they know what they're doing. They're the NFL, the good doctors.
And how do you think that impacted the outcome?
Well, see where he's at now.
Nearly a year after Carlton's death, in June 2021, the NFL pledged it would no longer use race norms in testing. The league also said it would review cases of former black players who had been race normed. But a year later, many retired black players and their families are still waiting to hear if they will now receive an award from the settlement.
Have you heard anything from lawyers at the NFL about them readjusting his scores and reconsidering his case?
No. I feel that it should be the easiest case because, like, from what I'm looking at this paperwork, this is proof right here.
While he was alive, Carlton received a pension from the NFL. This was money the family depended on for years. That source of income stopped the day Carlton died.
Talk to me about what's going on while you're waiting.
I'm about to be homeless soon. I have nothing. I have nothing. I'm losing everything. But I'm going to be honest with you. Right now, as we speak, I have $5 to my name. That's what they did.
Is the settlement a betrayal of the players?
Oh, yes.
Dr. Charles Golden said he evaluated more than 160 former NFL players for the concussion settlement, giving these retired players the same battery of tests that Carlton received. Dr. Golden told Fault Lines, the NFL's influence goes beyond race norming. Many of the doctors who determine whether a player qualifies for an award are paid by the NFL. He was one of them.
They put pressure on us to change our minds. And when you refused, they put increased pressure on you. They never said, we will cut you off, but you're always aware that if you irritate them, you may not get referrals. No question. I had a case that the neurologist and I agreed on the diagnosis. The NFL came back and said, no, you're wrong. You have to change the diagnosis. I said, no, that was our diagnosis. That was our opinion. And they went after the neurologist, and they got the neurologist to change her opinion. And as a consequence, the client lost all compensation.
We asked the NFL about Dr. Golden's allegation, but neither the commissioner nor the league spokesperson responded to our list of questions or our request for an interview. On the verge of losing her home, Michelle is making the difficult decision to sell some of Carlton's memorabilia.
Are you going to sell this medal?
I don't want to, but it comes with this.
You're going to sell this with that? Ah, oh, Michelle.
In September, I accompanied Michelle to the first home game of the season for the Pittsburgh Steelers. 25 years later, Carlton's name still strikes a chord with the fans.
He walked by and he said Hasselrig, and I turned around and was like, oh, that's my husband. That was my husband.
Yeah. What a talent.
He was incredible.
He was a great man. He was a very great man.
He was a legend.
Legend.
God bless you.
Thank you. I'm proud that they know my husband. That's what really hurt my feelings today, when most of the people looked at me in shock when I told them that I haven't received a dime. Some people don't want to know.
They'd rather not know?
Yeah, they don't want to know.
Why?
Because they love the game.
Who do I hold accountable? All of us. Because we're the ones who love football. We're the ones that ultimately could make the NFL be accountable by demanding it be safer on the front end and that take care of people who get damaged on the back end. And for the most part, we demand neither. What we demand is that football be on our televisions and in front of us in the stands, and that they play and that we be entertained.